Real Money Radio is brought to you today by Holland Financial. Since 1997, David Holland and his team have helped hundreds of investors plan their financial futures. Planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. Come see how simple and clear your future can be when you plan stronger. The consultation is free. Call 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a really interesting subject lined up for you here, and I don't get credit for finding this. I do a lot of reading, as you know. I read the investment papers and Wall Street Journal and Market Watch, of course, and I came across a very interesting article that was written by a Jonathan Burton, who is the money and investing editor, and he's a columnist for Market Watch with the Wall Street Journal, and he wrote a very interesting article, The 10 Things Your Real Estate Agent Won't Tell You, What Buyers and Sellers Should Know About That 6% Commission. So I thought, you know what would be cool? If we can get him on to talk to us, that'd be fantastic. And guess what? He's on the line. Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Well, it's nice to be with you, David.
It's my pleasure.
Thanks for having me on the show.
You're very welcome. Well, thanks for taking the time. And I, of course, enjoy your writings and your work there at MarketWatch. And for our listeners, they can go to, is it marketwatch.com?
That's right.
All right, that's pretty simple. Good. Okay, so there's a lot of good information there, and they should go there often to keep current on what's happening in the world, because that's what you're doing there. You're watching the markets and keeping us informed. So you wrote this. I have to ask, Jonathan, what prompted you to write this particular column?
Well, the spring selling season is upon us, and so we wanted to take a look at some aspects of the real estate market that, you know, people might not be quite as tuned into.
They might not even know to think about or even ask these questions, right?
Right, and especially, when you buy a house or you sell a house, it's a very emotional time. And sometimes when emotions are running high, we can get confused. And that keeps us from asking the right questions and actually even paying attention to the right answers, what we need to hear.
Well, I don't think you would have to argue that point very forcefully, Jonathan, about the emotional aspects, because people, you know, during the market downturn and the real estate bottom falling out, a lot of people got hurt. A lot of people got caught with multiple houses. They got over leveraged. But also just the emotional aspects of, this is where we're going to raise a family, or this is where we're going to retire, or this is where we're going to do whatever. There's a lot of emotion tied up in it. So you're right on the money there. So we'll go through some of these different things that people might not think to ask or be aware of that they won't hear from the real estate agent, or that the real estate agent won't tell them. And just for our listeners, so that they know a little bit more about you, Jonathan, you have been a contributing editor at Bloomberg Personal Finance, Mutual Fund and Individual Investor Magazines, also a reporter for Far Eastern Economic Review and Investor Business Daily, also authored two books. So we're very glad to have you on. Now,
thank you.
Let's jump right to one of the first things that that the real estate agent might not tell you. And again, there's some very, very good real estate agents out there, but they're not created equal, just like not all financial planners are created equal. So the first one that you wrote about is, I'm using your house to sell myself, which I think is an excellent one to start with.
Right. So, you raised an accurate point that, you know, most agents are hardworking professionals, and they're going to be straight with you, they're going to take care of you, and they're going to listen to you. And that said, you may encounter some agents who see only the me in home. Mm. And, you know, to get a listing, an agent is going to tell, stories about houses they've sold in your area. They're going to promise to, market your home in glossy magazines and blanket the neighborhood with direct mail, to try to get some move-up buyers. But, these marketing ploys are in a lot of ways just marketing the agent. It's not the home so much. It's an avenue that brokers take to generate business for themselves using your house.
And it's almost like it's bait.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, so I think what sellers need to be aware of is to ask an agent how long their recent listings have stayed on the market before selling.
Ooh.
Compare that to the neighborhood's history. Find out the average sale price compared with the average listing price. And ask how many other sellers the agent is representing currently, because you really want your agent to, you know, basically, you know who you are and what your needs are and focus on you.
Be able to spend some time actually selling your home.
Right.
And, not just having a line in the water.
Exactly. And you know, in that way, you know, you can be sure that sure that you have a personality fit. And that's just key with this kind of a transaction.
Interesting. So, okay, well, that's very good. I like that. That speaks for itself. Second one you wrote about is you might never get the chance to buy your dream home. So now are you flipping over to the buyer side, or are you talking still from a seller trying to move into another home?
Right. Well, either okay. One. There are situations and times when a house doesn't go on to the market. So the agents have a name for this called a pocket listing. And what happens is that a house won't go out into the mainstream. You'll see a house and you'll see a moving truck pull up.
Right.
And you'll say, oh, I never knew that house was for sale.
They didn't put it into the MLS.
Right.
Yeah.
It wasn't in the multiple listing service. And they what has probably happened is that a broker who has a very good read on the market, or this happens sometimes in these gated communities or retirement communities, you'll find that there's like a secret sale without a bidding war.
Kind of a little club or a little clique, that smoke-filled back room somewhere that, you know, things happen without really going to public.
Right. So what happens is that there can be, you know, advantages to a pocket listing, these secret sales.
Yeah.
If you're a seller, you can ask a high price to test the market.
Sure.
And if the property is overpriced and it doesn't sell, it won't have languished on the multiple listing service.
Right. Right. It won't get stale and look like you're, you know, having a hard time selling it.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, on the downside, this kind of an arrangement can limit the pool of available buyers. Mm. And if you're not in the know, you won't even knock on the door, let alone get past it.
Interesting. So that's where maybe that home goes on the market, quote unquote, and is sold before you even know it. So you might not be able to get the home that you want. Now, the next one, of course, is a big hot button issue and has been the subject of a lot of discussion over the years. And that is number three, my commission isn't set in stone, from the Realtors Commission we're talking about.
Right. So, the 6%, and which is split 50-50 between the buyer's agent and the seller's agent.
Yes.
That's long been considered sort of the baseline for a full service listing. There's no, it can't be set by law, but,
right.
You know, it's kind of just been the go-to number, mm-hmm. essentially.
Yeah, they're not allowed to actually. It's a big federal prohibition against them actually agreeing on a standard. So, but it has kind of evolved into being that's a number that realtors tend to charge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what I think that people increasingly know. But also really need to be mindful of is that these commissions are negotiable. They vary from region to region. We find that rates for commissions are typically lower in higher cost markets and higher in lower cost markets. There are ways to negotiate these commissions. You can agree to price a house aggressively, meaning at the lower end of the market.
It'll sell quicker and you won't have to work as hard.
That's right.
Right.
And then the agent can move on, you know, to the next deal. But you have to be sure you're not giving up more in the sale than you're getting in commission savings. I mean, you just can't let the tail wag the dog in this case. Some agents are going to trim their commission and work with you. Some agents will, in some states, it's possible for an agent to represent both the seller and the buyer. It's known as dual agency.
Yeah.
And then they get the full commission.
Yes.
That's a very controversial arrangement. A lot of people don't advocate that. But if you are comfortable with that, that can also be a way to cut your commission.
Yeah, it's they represent neither party. They represent they represent themselves. They represent getting the deal done.
Yeah,
that's so, where some of that conflict you're talking about can potentially arise.
Right, and I mean in the business, as long as it's disclosed to everybody and yeah. everybody gives written consent, then it's fair ball.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, let's. That's three down, and we've got seven more to go. Let's take a quick break. Jonathan Burtner is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, and he is the money and investing editor for MarketWatch. Let's take a quick break. We'll come right back.
Here's a newsflash. All financial advisors are not created equal. Some invest in their education by getting advanced degrees and professional certifications. Some don't. Some advisors get multiple licenses and offer a wide range of solutions. Some don't. Some advisors choose to be independent. Some don't. Some advisors disclose how they are paid and the fees they charge. Some don't. Please don't settle for a don't. Let me introduce you to independent advisor David Holland. David is a CPA, a certified financial planner, a personal financial specialist, and a chartered financial consultant. With 23 years financial experience, David offers a wide range of personalized solutions and discloses all fees in writing. Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting.
And we are back with Jonathan Burtner. And Jonathan is the money and investing editor over at MarketWatch, Wall Street Journal. And we're talking about the 10 things your real estate agent won't tell you or might not tell you. I'll soften a little bit because there are some good folks out there, Jonathan. And I know you know that. The next one, which is really important, and this kind of goes back to, getting the listing, is that your home isn't worth as much as you think. So the agent might say, oh, yeah, you think it's worth $400? Yeah, I think so, too. Let's list it.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be worth, 75% of that number.
Yeah, so they say there's two types of home sellers, those who want more money than their house can fetch and those who refuse to back off that position.
Yeah.
A good agent is going to be straight with a seller and say you're overpricing this house.
Right.
You want more than the market can bear. Other agents aren't going to be so choosy, and they will basically encourage a seller to have these surreal expectations. They'll promise to get top dollar for the house. Then the seller signs with this agent, and the house comes on the market, and after a few weeks, they don't get any bites. The agent says, let's cut the price.
Right, right.
They drop the price. But the agent has done this consciously to get the listing.
Yeah.
And so that does happen. Most of the time, though, I think that when an agent is really knows the market, knows the neighborhood, and is being straight with the seller, they're going to and that it's so important. It's like with financial advisors, you really have to manage expectations.
Yes.
And the agent's job is to do that, to not follow the seller and then create disappointment later.
Very good. Very good, Jonathan. And then the next one is kind of amusing the way you phrased it. Young buyers don't want your old house. So that's again a reality check of the pool of people that might want your home.
Right. It's a big issue with if you've lived in your house for a while and it's been just fine for you, comfortable and all. You get to know its quirks and its insides and outs. People come along and they have new families or they're thinking about raising their families. They're in their 20s and their 30s. They want a house that is modern and up to date.
Yeah.
Unless it's something with real period pieces and it's got a lot of character and old charm, that's different. But you know, the people, you know, they want a fun house. They want you know, large walk-in closets, and they want a game room. They want you know, if you have state-of-the-art kitchen, it's not as much of a priority for these people. Surprisingly, they want things that are going to be more entertaining. Now, you know, older buyers, you know, they like their kitchens and things, but the younger buyers, you know, they are looking. They live in the world of technology. I mean, they've grown up with technology, and so technology is absolutely essential. So, I mean, you want to try as much as possible to upgrade your home. And it doesn't have to be like a smart home in the future, but, you know, you want to have, you know, as much up-to-date as you can afford and you possibly can. And that really just makes the home more move-in. Not everybody is, you know, going to be able to fix something up, especially if you're in an area where, you know, there's a lot of young professionals. They have, you know, families to raise and
busy. Yeah,
and
they don't have time to fix it up.
It's you know, they don't have time to fix it up, right?
Yeah, fair enough. I want to jump to another one that really struck my attention, Jonathan, and that was the agent might be fired soon, and so are you speaking to maybe they might not let on that they're maybe struggling and that maybe they're not performing well, and or what are you getting at there?
Well, yeah, so you know, the a lot of firms will have, not every firm, but a lot of firms have sales quotas. And so, you know, one transaction can mean the difference between, you know, an agent showing houses or being shown the door.
Oh.
And, you know, it's very competitive, you know, in this market in particular. There's a lot of agents chasing few deals because there's a lack of inventory. And although, you know, it's thinner, the ranks of agents are much thinner since the housing crash, you know, it's still, I don't know, about a million members in the National Association of Realtors, which includes brokers and agents.
Sure.
And so an agent under the gun to produce, you know, is going to do what he or she can to make that deal, you know, short of maybe, you know, cutting the commission. But, you know, so... Yeah, you want to be sure that you you ask an agent for references. You want to
quiz them a little bit, right? Quiz them a little bit.
Absolutely,
yeah.
You got to ask the questions, and if you're not satisfied with it, you know, you can move on to another agent, either in that same brokerage or in a new brokerage.
Well, and that relates to you know, you talk about the agent or realtor maybe being fired. Let's flip it around. One of the other ones you mentioned is that they might actually want to dump you as a client.
Yeah, and time's money, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, if you're just a looky-loo, or you need a lot of hand-holding.
You just can't be satisfied, or, you know, that you're not willing to budge on your price, or all these things, they may just kind of say, look, I'm just kind of done.
They won't do it quite that directly, but that's what they'll think, and they'll find a creative, polite, diplomatic way to say that, you know, you should move on. It also happens if you're a very demanding client. I had, you know, in this story, one realtor told me that she had a customer contacting her several times a day, and it was kind of like when they said jump, she was supposed to say how high.
Wow.
And you know, by and large, agents are patient people, but you know, a seller and a buyer, you know, they have to be mindful and appreciative of the fact that they have a life beyond the multiple listing service.
That's very true.
And a, you know, a good agent is going to set that standard. They're going to, you know, draw that boundary. You know, as a client of that agent, you need to respect that, and you'll get more from your agent that way.
No question about that. If you're just joining us, Jonathan Burtner is our guest. He is the money and investing editor for MarketWatch, and we're going to do this. We're going to grab a quick break. We'll come back. We've got, I think, a few more of these things that the realtor, real estate agent might not tell you. Stay right there.
Does getting financial advice seem like a game of cat and mouse? Then maybe it's time to hire a fiduciary. What's a fiduciary? That's a financial professional who puts the needs of his clients ahead of his own. Being a fiduciary also means that the advisor should recommend the products and services he believes will best serve his client's needs, not what an insurance or investment company tells him he has to sell. So next time you're talking to an advisor, ask him, "Are you a fiduciary?" The answer should only be yes or no. If the advisor doesn't know, then the answer is probably no. This public service announcement has been brought to you by Holland Financial. We want to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Welcome back. We're with Jonathan Burton on the line, money and investing editor over at MarketWatch, and we've got a few more questions or things in this top 10 things that Jonathan had worked on for a recent article that the real estate agent might not tell you. And another one I found very interesting, Jonathan, was that the real estate agent might not be able to win a bidding war. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I mean, in a lot of markets, they don't experience bidding wars because the competition isn't so fierce. But if you get into a a very hot real estate market, particularly like in an urban area like New York, San Francisco, what happens is you get multiple offers, and someone's going to win. So what you want your agent to do is, as a buyer, is to improve your odds of being that someone. And a lot of agents can, they're good at getting the listing, but when it comes time to closing the deal, especially in a multiple offer situation, they might not have what it takes. So you want an agent to have been around the block, and that the kinds of things you'll be asked as a buyer is, what would your absolute highest bid be? So there's no confusion in the fog of a bidding war. And so when your agent knows the lengths you're going to go to for a house, then you have you give your agent an advantage in dealing with the seller's agent. And what that means is that as a buyer, you have to be honest with yourself. You have to, really say, this is my top end, and if it goes above that, I'll walk away from this house. Otherwise, you're going to be that kind of a client that you it's going to be after the fact. You'll have lost the house, and you'll say, to your agent, "I would have gone up more. Why didn't you tell me I could do that?" So again, we go back to the emotions of this kind of a situation, and you really need to be clear. Now, what you can do in a multiple bid situation to win it is, you can agree to waive contingencies, you can agree to an inspection, you can agree to cover closing costs. An experienced broker is going to encourage you as a buyer to stretch in ways that might be a little uncomfortable, but it can seal a deal.
Yeah, be different, be innovative, and that's where, all realtors are not created equal in that respect, where they have experience in doing that. It may even be a great lister, they might be a great marketer, but it might come to, if you're in that kind of highly competitive marketplace or your particular property is highly sought after, we've got a lot of beachfront area over here where we are, Jonathan, and if you really want to be in a beach community or whatever the case may be, there may be a lot of competition. You got to make sure you've got somebody on your side that can help you win what you're looking for.
That's right.
Well, I tell you what, Jonathan, that's 8 of the 10 that are in your article. We're going to leave our listeners today with needing to go read the rest of the two others that we didn't get to. They need to go to marketwatch.com. Jonathan Burton's been our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, money and investing editor for MarketWatch Wall Street Journal. Jonathan, I really appreciate you being on the program. It's a very insightful perspective, and we appreciate the work you did in writing this and the work you do every day at MarketWatch.
Well, thank you. It was a real pleasure being on the show, David.
All right. Well, we'll have you back, and we'll do another program sometime.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.